Our scripture for today comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 40. Hear now these words. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you all please pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So first of all, I'm so sorry to all the mothers that this was the scripture for today. As I thought about it this week, I was like, it really is the best for this family dynamic, and I will also potentially have a lot of angry mothers. So apologize. Thank you for all your grace. Also, several of you have come up to me after this series and said, "Were you talking to me?" I promise I am not. As you'll see, I'm talking a lot to myself in this sermon. So all that is to say, I take your stories and they are not in here. They are not in here, I promise. So it's the Holy Spirit who might be convicting you. That's all. Okay, so all those out of the way. So we have arrived at our last Sunday of our sermon series on family dynamics. So while mothers are uniquely created by God, all healthy mothers share the common goal of wanting their children to be happy, healthy, and to experience harmony in their relationships. Now, of course, Scripture gives us wonderful examples, sometimes of healthy mothers and sometimes unhealthy mothers. Last week, we looked at Rebecca and how she favored a son, and it was very well known that she favored one of her twins. Scripture is a beautiful source for the do's and don'ts of life and grace that surrounds each and every one of us. So what have we looked at so far? We've looked at relationships, how we are all in them. We are all a part of families that have informed us, and we cannot escape relationships. We are all a part of relationships. Relationships are everywhere and inescapable. So how we function in relationships is fundamental to how we treat one another, especially in conflict. And I'm sure you all noticed there's a lot of conflict right now. Well, there's always been, but it seems to be particularly heavy right now. Right now, our political leaders are fighting constantly. There's something about this debt ceiling that seems pretty important. And they're fighting, yet they're fighting, and it may impact all of us. So emotions are part of this as well. Emotions are automatic physiological responses that we experience all the time. When we become aware that we are experiencing them, they become feelings. Then we have the togetherness force. That is what automatically and instinctively pulls us together as a family unit and emotionally defines what a family is. Then we have triangles. Not good or bad, but they exist. A triangle is what it sounds like. When two people are experiencing some sort of relationship stress and one of them engages a third person to try to help with the stress. Then last week we looked at self-differentiation, our ability to define who we are and what we believe, coupled with our ability to separate our thoughts, feelings, and behavior from those of the group. Then we have distancing, a response to stress and anxiety in a relationship when we choose to disengage instead of resolving the conflict. And then cutoff or estrangement. Sometimes that boundary is the healthiest for us as we navigate ourselves and relationships. So this week, we're looking at something else as well to add to these fun family dynamics. Now keep in mind, whether you admit it or not, we all respond to relationships and stress and anxiety in these various ways. The trick, though, is that our emotions hijack our responses, resulting sometimes in an unconscious behavior patterns bubbling to the top. So today we're looking at underfunctioning and overfunctioning. So think about it. Do you take a step closer to the fire or do you pull away? That's one way to look at it. Let me tell you about some other definitions. So overfunctioning. This is when you ratchet it up. You get busy either solving the problem or to numb the anxiety you're experiencing. This looks like increasing expectations for situations and the people. Often, these expectations are centered around your wants and needs. as you go into overdrive, expecting more of yourself and also others around you. So what does this often look like? Taking on more tasks and responsibility than you should or probably can? Overthinking? Not taking up others on their offers to help? Thinking you are the only one who can do something? And constantly reframing, looking for the silver lining in everything. These people often have difficulty delegating because no one else will do it right. Maybe you've heard someone say this in your life. Then we have underfunctioning. That's the negative self-talk. The should've, could've, would've. They give up sometimes. It isn't going to work, so why bother? And they feel like they can't course correct. They're over-reliant on others to make decisions, feeling helpless or getting stuck in a feeling spiral, making unwise decisions in relationships, career, parenting, and again, feeling stuck in that feeling spiral. So think about group projects. Think about back to high school, college. Maybe you are lucky enough to have group projects in your work. Were you the person who loved them because you didn't have to do as much work? If so, you might be underfunctioning in that group project. Maybe you are a person who disliked them because you knew somebody was going to slack and you were going to pick up that slack, and it was just going to be a stressful time until that assignment was done. Or maybe you are very healthy and you did just your part and you didn't worry about the rest, and teach us your ways, please. So our scripture this morning is the Mary and Martha story. This is a text that women either love or strongly dislike, and again, I apologize for using it today. But it really is perfect for illustrating what is going on in their relationships as sisters. So to remind you, earlier in Luke 10, we find that Jesus and his disciples had come upon a village, and Martha encounters them and opens her home to them. But remember that Jesus, earlier in Luke 10, has sent 70 disciples out in pairs to go into various villages. We're not told yet if they've been deployed, so it's very possible that Martha just invited 70 to 80 people into her home. Right, whether it's 12, whether it's 70 or 80, that's a lot of people. So Martha gets distracted by her many tasks, as Scripture tells us. I think it's clear to see that she goes into overfunctioning. She's anxious about feeding all these people. She wants to be a good hostess. She may or may not have clearly delegated tasks to her sister Mary. And I don't know if you pick up on it, but she creates a triangle. She is upset with her sister Mary. She doesn't go to Mary, Scripture tells us. She goes to Jesus. She brings in a third party and says, "Jesus, you go tell Mary to help me with my many tasks." Now again, Martha has good intentions. She wants to feed. She wants to be around Jesus. She wants to be hospitable. But we see that in her anxiety, she begins to overfunction and then is overwhelmed, and then she takes it out on her sister. And Jesus is concerned about her worry and her overfunctioning and even tells her so. Now we all overfunction at times, going beyond the call of duty or even reason to get into the good graces of another, to be seen as good or good enough. But what we're really trying to do is rid ourselves of anxiety by doing, doing, doing. And for some, it becomes the way that they interact with others. So let me give you some more definitions for overfunctioning. So they often think they know all the answers and they aren't bashful about telling you. They often do quite well in life because our culture really loves overfunctioners and rewards them for it too. They tell others what to do, how to think, how to feel. They try too much at times to help. They assume increasing responsibility for other people. They do things for another person that the person could do for themselves. They often see the other person as the problem, and sometimes they demand agreement as well, saying everyone else believes this is the way that you should do something. Maybe that's you sometimes. Now, often where there's an overfunctioner, there's often an underfunctioner as well. So here's some other definitions for underfunctioner. It relies on the other person to know what to do, asks for advice unnecessarily, takes all offered help, needed or not, often becoming passive. Asks the other person to do what they can do for themselves, sees others as the problem. That, by the way, is unique. You know, both of those have that. Is susceptible to going along with the group rather than speaking out when there are concerns, and gives in on many things or even everything. So the risks for both, overfunctioning and underfunctioning, resentment and the relationships. Overfunctioners risk becoming resentful and controlling. Underfunctioners also risk becoming resentful, but for the opposite reason. They feel a lack of control, and that often leads to self-doubt. Now, all of this leads to unhealthy behavioral loops. The overfunctioning keeps performing unconsciously, giving the underfunctioner permission to underperform. It makes the situation worse and does not allow others to learn how to do things. I know, sorry, moms, this is a hard sermon for today. In churches, especially in organizations, often we rob people of the joy of serving. Stress and anxiety abound as people get stuck in a spiral of behavior that they may not even be aware of and are afraid of the consequences if they speak up. Now again, our culture loves the overfunctioner, really does, and sometimes elevates that above all else. And often there's shame in creating boundaries. Now I do feel like since the pandemic, there has been a little less shame in being clear about what you can and cannot take on. So I pray that that continues, as those boundaries are so helpful. So friends, I am an overfunctioner. Martha is totally my person. An important step, though, for me is to recognize what I am doing. I do want to take a moment and say a huge thank you to our leaders here in this church. As I wrote this sermon, as I looked back over the past few years, I was like, oh my goodness, I have been an unhealthy overfunctioner, and thank goodness for our leaders who have loved me through it. So truly, thank you to you as a church, especially our leaders. I think back to when the pandemic first struck, when the stay-at-home orders came, and I remember all the staff and myself, we were trying to do everything we could, and we probably took on too much, and then didn't stop things at the right time, right? I don't know about you, I thought it was going to be 2 weeks. So I was like, okay, we can do this for 2 weeks. And then it kept stretching on, more and more. Then I think when our executive director, who had been here for 10 years, Robbie Rocky, took a wonderful job at the food bank, and I overfunctioned in my own anxiety. Thank goodness Ann Douglas came into our life, and still, many Thursdays, yes. Many Thursdays, Ann and I come in exhausted, and she looks at me and says, now, how did you do this? How did you run Fresh Food Wednesday and the church at the same time? Like, how did you function? And I tell her constantly, I don't know. Thank goodness you're here. You showed up. God knew what we needed. Now, I know, as a leader, that delegation is best for all of us. I heard one time, I think it was in seminary, that if someone else can do a task 70% as well as you, and that is good enough. And so, you know, friends, that is so freeing. As a perfectionist, it is okay if it's not perfect, because my role is to equip others and to teach others what is needed and to be there to support them. I am robbing others of an opportunity if I do it all myself. And that's what I have to keep telling myself. Do not rob others of the opportunity. Now, again, friends, even though, thank goodness to therapy, I have figured out what my problems are, I still do them, right? It is one thing to recognize, and it's still another to get out of those patterns. And so thank goodness God's grace still abounds as an overfunctioner, and I still get to take time to say, all right, this was not mine to take on. How do we help find someone else who can do this? Now, most of us do both. Most of us overfunction in situations and underfunction in others. Maybe with certain friends, you underfunction because someone likes to overfunction, and you're like, I am glad to go along for the ride. You pick where we eat, what we're going to do. I am excited as an overfunctioner. If I feel like someone else is super competent, I am all for underfunctioning and just going along for the ride. So many of us do both, if we're honest. So maybe our goal today is to do 2% better. 2% better. So again, the first part is recognizing what we do in our relationships, in our situations. So for overfunctioners, if you are like me, these are ways you can be 2% better. Rest. Rest. Pause before responding. Sometimes overfunctioners are the first to jump on something. Maybe make yourself count to 10 or 20 or even 50 in a meeting to see if someone else will take it on before you jump in. Allow space for others to volunteer first. Engage in something that brings you joy. Maybe it's something for you, like being creative. I know I showed you all my beautiful wonky pottery. Well, I continue to do pottery. It's gotten a little less wonky. But for me, it's a way to let go. So what are those creative outlets or those hobbies? Maybe it's taking a walk, going to the beach. What is it that you can do to unwind? And then you might need to limit your input. Have a quiet space, a technology break. Maybe play calming music so that you can just relax again, because we tend to be always thinking. Now, for underfunctioners, identify a plan to move forward. Take small steps towards your goal. And then accountability through deadlines, rewards, others, that can be so key. So for both, it's so important to get rest and to exercise. This truly is key. I know I've started, all of us are attached to our technology devices, and so I often charge my phone after a certain time so that I cannot look at it. I don't need to be thinking about certain things at certain hours. So what are those boundaries that you can create? Eat well. Be present and pay attention to your environment and also how you're feeling. Deep breathing exercises can be so helpful. Ground your life in prayer and scripture and integrate it into your life. Maybe you pray while you're walking or driving down the interstate. Maybe you sing favorite hymns, or I don't know about you, but I can find God in the secular songs as well. So how are you thinking about God through your everyday? Then I have loved coaching. I am a coach, and I find it so helpful to figure out, A, when I'm overfunctioning, but B as well, those times when I underfunction, to set up those action plans. And then just continue to relax and be with God. Now, why should we get healthy? And overfunctioning, again, we are robbing others of an opportunity for them to grow, to be independent, to serve as God has called them to. This is what I have to tell myself, so if it's helpful for you, take it. I have to tell myself it disrespects another. I'm disrespecting the humanity of another to assume that they cannot do something. And we are called to love one another and respect one another. So where do we go from here, friends? Again, identify what you're doing. That is so key. And then we lean into God's grace. Thank goodness for God's grace that is there for us each and every day. Then we pray the words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is part of the Lord's Prayer, and part of that is when we realize how we treat each other is bringing God's kingdom here on earth. It comes down to our relationships with God and with one another. And then, friends, like we do every week here, we get to feast at God's table, where all are welcomed and celebrated, where God wants all of us to be healthy, and where we are all invited as equals. We are invited to the table where God is the one acting and inviting. We are all invited to just come and taste and see that the Lord is good. We get to just function, not over or under function, and respond to God's invitation. Will you all please pray with me? Goodness God, we ask for your help. We as people have learned these over and under functioning things to get us through our relationships. God, help us. God, help those of us who tend to overfunction a lot to take a step back, to rest, to see how we can help others to grow. For those of us who underfunction, God, help us. Help us to take those actions, to find those people who can hold us accountable, who we will not be tempted to give everything to, but instead can help us walk beside us in this road. God, help all of us. We know that you are God who desires us to be healthy in all of our relationships. God, make us healthy today and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.